to Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I am your host, Derek Caraview. With me, as always, is Christian A. Dumais. However, Chris, you're not actually on this one, are you? Right. So Chris had some stuff to do. I was flying solo for this one. Hopefully not something that will be made a habit of, but I was the only one here. We did have a very nice conversation with our guest today, Chris Jones, who is an entrepreneur, founder, and co-CEO of Special Guest App. And he is also the founder and CEO of KBJ Capital. But that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg for this guy.
Yeah. He's like the CEO of like 1,000 things.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So he works with a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. It was a shame you weren't there because we had a really fascinating conversation, which you will now get to listen to. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Chris Jones. Chris, thank you very much for joining us here today. And before we kick things off, could you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Chris Jones. I have been in the growth marketing space, particularly, you know, search and social once it came of age for almost 20 years. When most people ask me who I am, I usually refer to myself as an entrepreneur slash investor, which I'm sure, you know, we could get into some more specifics. But yeah, my background is in SEO and growth marketing. Been doing it for 20 years. Founded a company called Pepper Jam in the early 2000s. Went on to become one of the largest and sort of most recognizable digital marketing and affiliate networks in the United States. I sold that in 2009 to eBay. In 2010, I started an investment fund called KBJ Capital, and I've made about 25 investments in early stage tech companies. About 7 of those companies in that portfolio I founded or co-founded. Mm-hmm. And that portfolio in the last 3 years has raised about $40 million in venture capital. And yeah, there's a lot of little specifics with regard to some of those businesses, some nice success stories that we could go into to further detail. I'm located in Pennsylvania. I've been here my whole career. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more. You know, I've written several books on SEO. First one was in 2008. Got more about it. So yeah, my bio, Derek, is I've been doing this for so long that in some respects, I'm just getting started, and that's the truth. But in other respects, I've been doing it for so long, there's a lot to unpack.
We saw that as we started to do some research just to get to know a little bit more about you before we started. And first, I was most impressed with your country music career. I thought that was great. No, obviously that's a different thing. Yeah, I'm sorry to throw that out there. No, but just trying to unpack all the things that you have done.
Yeah,
was a little daunting. We're going to get to some more of that in just a minute. But first, we're going to just warm up a little bit here with some of our icebreakers.
Sure.
So are you ready?
Go for it.
Okay. Our first question for the day, your biggest guilty pleasure.
My biggest guilty pleasure is probably sugar-free Red Bull and vodka, preferably Tito's.
Okay, that's a good one. It's been a long time since I've done the Red Bull and vodka thing, but yeah, I have fond almost memories of that.
I'll usually start, like, I'm not a big drinker, but on weekends and stuff like that, I'll go to the lake house with my family, and on a Friday night, I like to kind of put a little buzz on early, and I'll usually start with two in succession, sugar-free Red Bull and vodkas, which kind of lays a nice foundation for a couple of beers throughout the night. So
sure, yeah. I still remember that first time years and years ago trying the Red Bull and vodka and thinking I am drunk and I am hyper. It sounds like a crime against nature. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. If you had to eat one meal every day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Dude, I would die if I said chicken wings, but I probably would survive with... I would probably survive with pizza.
Okay. Yeah. You could mix that up a bit. Still not, succumb to scurvy. You get the occasional, occasional Hawaiian pizza, even though that's not right. But yeah, to avoid death, you could eat.
Absolutely.
All right. What is your favorite plant?
My favorite plant? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I would probably say first thing that came to my mind would be Birds of Paradise, which is a flower that is my wife Robin's favorite. So that's by default, probably my favorite.
All right.
It's a beautiful flower.
Okay. Nice one. And when your wife listens to the podcast, bonus points for you. All right. Good one.
Absolutely.
You get a flat tire. Are you replacing it or are you calling someone?
I am absolutely not replacing it. I'm calling someone.
Yeah, it's always nice when you reach certain levels and you're like, you know what? I don't have to do that anymore. This is nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you don't necessarily. I think I try to stay within my pocket of a limited skill set. I'm fairly ninja at some of the things I'm good at, and I'm smart enough not to waste time on things that would take me a heck of a lot longer than someone who's skilled at it.
Okay, nice one. If you could see one movie again for the first time, which one would it be?
It would be either Sleepless in Seattle or Dirty Dancing. I'm not kidding. You can move on to the next question. Don't unpack that one. It'll probably get me in trouble. But no, for me, it's either romance or romantic comedy or comedy. So I could have given you some comedy films that are just like, epic, like Wedding Crashers. I've probably seen 5 or 6 times. I would probably laugh just as hard on the 15th time. So there are other ones. I'm a big movie guy. So, I like what I like.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Can't argue with that. Weirdest food you have ever eaten?
Weirdest food I have ever eaten. Oh man. I think I've probably accidentally eaten like duck liver, or something like that, where, you bite into it and it's like, wow, never really quite had that texture in my mouth. And then they tell you what it is and you just about, regurgitate it. So, something in like the meat family that wasn't like traditional beef.
So do you experiment with food at all, or are you kind of a chicken wings and pizza guy?
No. I mean, I experiment. I would say that, two things that, I've gotten to enjoy just because I just partly because of my success, partly because I travel a lot is, I do enjoy traveling and I also enjoy, fine dining. So, you end up in a French restaurant and they serve 4 or 5, prefix, chef choice. You end up with some really interesting experiences. So I would say I'm not like, I'm not the kind of person that would walk into a restaurant and kind of close my eyes and point on the menu. So I'm somewhat picky. So I'm more traditional in that respect, but I'm fairly well traveled. So inevitably I've ended up in restaurants in like Berlin and, the menu was in German and I did my best to pick something that looked, edible and appetizing. And I, for the most part, I'll eat what's on my plate. I don't send back food very often.
Yeah. I've been living in Poland for 14 years and I've been able to travel around Europe a little bit. And, I've had that experience too, where like, this almost looks like something I may know what it is. Let's go with that. So that word looks vaguely familiar. I can go with that one.
Exactly.
All right. What was the worst job you've ever had?
Man, I really haven't had many jobs. Cause I founded Pepper Jam, which initially was an affiliate marketing business when I was in graduate school. And then during law school, it really took off for me. So I never really had to have a job. I worked for a U.S. congressman right out of law school for less than a year. My worst job, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but when I sold Pepper Jam, working for a big publicly traded company was not my favorite job. It was definitely my least favorite job. I realized then and now that I'm much better working for myself than working for someone else. And I'm at heart, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm less of an executive. I'm more of an entrepreneur, meaning, you know, I'll do whatever job needs to get done in order to be successful. But when I'm told that, you know, you have to do this or do that, I tend to kind of not enjoy it as much.
Sure. Okay. If you were judged by your dancing, what score would you get from 0 to 10?
Depend on who the judge was. If it was my kids, I would probably get about a 10. If it was my wife, I'd probably score about a 3. If I judged myself, I'd be like, I'd probably pull off about an 8. It really depends. I mean, I'm not, I'm the kind of person that will, just to get my kids laughing, we'll get up and just be goofy and dance around. And I think that's where I'd get the high scores, even though I don't know if, you know, if I was really judged on dancing, I probably wouldn't do so well, but I don't mind flailing my body to have fun.
Okay. So yeah, see, so you kind of going to weigh the jury a little bit by having the kids on there. I like it. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you weren't doing what you do, what would you be doing?
I probably would be a politician. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be in the U.S. Congress, to be honest with you. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, was that, now you mentioned going to law school and working for a politician,
a congressman?
A congressman,
yeah.
Was that a route you had at one point thought seriously about?
Well, you know, I mean, I think like most people, I think one of the universal, you know, things about, you know, career is that you want to choose a career where you can make a difference, mm-hmm. you know, in the world and in your community and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I did. I went to law school. I studied government law, not necessarily to run for office per se, but I worked on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and I got to see it. And, you know, I mean, I guess that path that I was taking was setting me up if I wanted to run for public office. I could tell you that because of my success as an entrepreneur, I realized that I could make a much larger, more profound impact in my community and on people through entrepreneurship. So I'm more than happy being a successful entrepreneur. But you know, if I wasn't, I certainly would want to be in a service, you know, based career and you know, serving the public through through government's one way to do it. By the way, you know, my real motivation there would have been, my thought was, you know, I guess I was in late teens, early 20s. And I thought to myself, man, a lot of people standing on the sidelines complaining about what's wrong. And there's a very small group of people that seem to have the concentration of power that are making decisions that impact the rest of us. And I said to myself, you could either stay on the sidelines and complain, or you could get involved and become part of the decision making. So my interest then really in government and politics was to be part of the decision making and be able to make decisions that had a, you know, positive impact on people versus being one of the many people that just seem to have the ability to identify problems and not actively want to be part of the solution.
As we kind of touched on in the intro, and as you touched on here in this question, you seem to be the CEO of about, we counted it, 157,000 different companies. And you have your fingers in a lot of different projects. How do you manage your time?
So honestly, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I've developed some ninja skills. The only reason I'm confident enough to call them ninja skills is that I have been literally obsessed with improving them over the course of a 20-year career. I've been really dedicated to personal and professional development, you know, on an ongoing basis my entire career. So I've been really focused on the personal development side, you know, goal setting and time management. So, you know, I have an uncanny ability to multitask, to stay focused on the things I care most about at any given time. And by time, I mean literally during my work day or during the, you know, when I'm focused on business, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I do. I don't really take breaks. I just move from one thing to the next, and it's not quite 157,000. It's about 155,000.
Apologies.
No, I either have the title or share the title of CEO with probably, you know, four or five different companies that I'm active with, you know, on a daily basis. There's really only, yeah, I would say there's really two or three core businesses, and then the other ones are ones that I don't have to spend as much time on either because they're developed, they're in an M&A process, or you know, or someone else is running them, you know. So, but yeah, so I think it comes down to identifying, you know, the specific skills that lead to success, and you know, I've talked a lot about this as it relates to entrepreneurship. You know, it just turns out that, you know, while entrepreneurship, particularly here in the United States, is glamorized through, you know, reality TV like Shark Tank and The Apprentice and other shows, turns out, you know, about 85 to 95% of entrepreneurs fail within the first 5 or so years. You know, I haven't failed much. And the reason why I haven't is because I've been absolutely obsessed over these last 15 or 20 years. And it's been cumulative. By the way, some of my early years were not my best per se, because I needed to still develop skills. And I'm still developing skills all these years later. But I think that there are a limited number of skills that are probably 8 to 12 skills or so. You know, things like financial management, goal setting, time management, et cetera, that, you know, you could develop acumen around these particular skills. And it could allow you to accomplish things that other people, you know, quite honestly, don't typically attribute to being possible. So, you know, my career, Derek, has been a lot about personal development, a lot about personal achievement, a lot about coaching others that I work with, you know, both executives in my various companies, as well as just anyone who ever works for me. You know, I tend to be driven by, you know, ongoing and never-ending improvement. So that's how I do it. It's a ninja skill around time management and goal setting.
Okay. I'm going to skip ahead to something I wanted to talk about a little bit later, but you're touching on it now. So what is something most people don't get about being an entrepreneur beyond just what we see on TV? And I know that you've appeared on a TV show in regards to this. And of course, the name of it just left my brain as I said that.
It was called Planet of the Apps. I was on, it was a reality show on Apple TV, and I was on it last year. But in terms of that, I mean, I think, man, I could take that, I could answer that in a lot of different ways. I tend to be a bit outspoken mm-hmm. on this particular topic. I'll give you two quick answers. One is that ideas tend to be grossly overrated. Mm-hmm. You know, my study of entrepreneurship, and I constantly read. I am very fortunate to be connected with and be in my network a lot of super successful people, entrepreneurs. And one thing I know about them is that every single one of them learned how to execute an idea. The problem is, the challenge is really for those of us that are entrepreneurs, is that sometimes our ideas get the best of us. We're not flexible enough in realizing that, you know, the idea is just the sort of spark, you know, to help you take the first step towards, you know, building a business and scaling a business. But in order to do that, you know, you have to have the skills, or develop the skills, or hire people that have the skills to help you execute it. So I think, you know, focusing on execution over idea is really one of the ways that you could turn upside down this idea of most entrepreneurs fail. I like to, whenever I did an AMA series, an Ask Me Anything series last year, and I did 100 videos, and a lot of my videos that are up on YouTube and Facebook are about the 5%. You know, what are the skills? What does it take to be in that 5% of success? as it relates to entrepreneurship. The second real quick thing I would say in response to your question is that, you know, Tony Robbins is a sort of a life coach, personal development guru. He does these live events that are 3, 4, 5 days long. I've been to 17 of them. He's pretty extraordinary. And one of the things that he says about life, and I think it particularly applies to entrepreneurship, but it also applies to any goal you set in life, is that in a weird, twisted way, our psychology, meaning like us either believing we could accomplish something or giving up because we think we hit a dead end, happens right at the end. It's right, you know, what Tony says is that success is near. You know, you have to believe that, you know, how important perseverance and dedication and commitment and resolve are as it relates to accomplishing things. So with regard to your question about entrepreneurship, I think that too many entrepreneurs give up. They inflate that number of, you know, entrepreneurs that aren't successful because they give up right before they're successful. And so perseverance and, you know, just a willingness to kind of just have the resolve to, you know, stay committed until you achieve something is one of the secrets to success in entrepreneurship.
Okay. So less about that kind of eureka moment and more about just working it all the way through is the idea here.
Yeah, I think eureka moments are overblown, and I think that they're grossly overstated in terms of their importance.
All right, then. So now we're going to shift on to our middle section here. We're going to play a quick game of Would You Rather. Would you rather have all of your emails published or all of your text messages?
I would probably go with text messages. I tend to email a lot more, so there's probably I'd maintain a little bit more privacy by focusing on texts versus email.
Okay. Would you rather have an embarrassing childhood photo become one of the internet's most popular memes, or become the subject of a hugely popular YouTube video because you did something stupid in public?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I would say. I would say I'd go with the meme.
The childhood photo becomes a meme.
Yeah.
Okay.
First one. Yeah.
Would you rather have to permanently give up salt or sugar?
I would say sugar.
Aha. Okay. So more of a salty snack guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would you rather know when you're going to die or how?
Certainly when.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's that would be my choice as well, I think, here.
Yeah.
Would you rather sing everything you say or say whatever you're thinking?
I would rather say whatever I'm thinking. I'm not sure the singing part would work out well.
Yeah, that sounds that could be something in a rom-com maybe, but I don't know.
I don't think I would keep everyone's attention. I think that it wouldn't be all that entertaining.
Okay. Would you rather spontaneously cry every time you order from a menu in a restaurant or never leave a tip?
Which one would I rather do?
Yes.
I couldn't not leave a tip. I mean, I worked in the service industry when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, the service people get paid like nothing. So
yeah.
What was the second one? So I don't want to stiff anyone.
Okay. So then you would rather spontaneously cry every time you order from a menu.
Yeah, I would. I think I would do that. I would rather that.
I guess you could always spin that somehow. Like, oh, you know, I just got out of prison. You know, it's my first time ordering from a menu, and I'm overwhelmed.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Would you rather do the Italian cheek kiss at the end of every sentence you say, or do a loud fake laugh at the end of every sentence somebody else says?
Who wrote these? I would laugh. I tend to do that sometimes, actually. I'll laugh spontaneously, and it's because I was thinking something else, but it's associated with whatever just happened. So if somebody's talking, they think I laughed at them. But anyway, so yeah, I'd go with that one.
Okay.
I think it happens sometimes. It might even happen during this interview. So.
Oh, thank you. I feel so good about that. Would you rather never have children or have quintuplets?
Oh, man, I'd go with quintuplets. I mean, I'm a dad of three. I have a soon-to-be 10-year-old. I have an 8-year-old and a soon-to-be 7-year-old. And nothing is more challenging than fatherhood, parenthood, but it also is nothing else compares to it. And so quintuplets, yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would take that. No, man, I would never not want kids. That selfish part of me that would not want kids. That's not a happy place for me. I definitely love being a dad.
Oh, great. Okay. Christian has twins. So okay. He has that where, you know, obviously everything was twice as hard right at the beginning. Yep. And then he says that he was fine. Like if he saw somebody with just one kid, you know, he'd always have that rueful kind of look. But if he saw somebody with triplets, you know, he would shed just the one tear for that guy kind of thing. So,
you know, from my perspective, and I have three of them, and they're all pretty close together. What I've learned is that, to be very, very careful when talking to other parents, that you don't overblow how hard it is, because then you know, then you'll ask another couple like, oh, how many kids do you have? Well, I have five. And then you're like, oh, I feel totally silly because I was just complaining and I only have three. So I've been like, I kind of listen first before I talk about how hard it is. And by the way, having one child is a lot of work, let alone two or three or four or five or, you know, whatever else. So, but it's also, it's one of those things in life, where universally, you know, you could connect with so many other parents that could identify with how hard it is and how wonderful it is. So,
yeah, it's a cool thing. I have two myself and, but spaced out a little bit more than Christian's, which has no space. So, yeah. It's a challenge. And, space of minutes. And sometimes I almost feel like he kind of did it right. I mean, sure that I'm sure initial 6 months or whatever was just terrible trying to get him to go to sleep at the same time and bath time and all that stuff. But just the space, like I'm doing diapers again, and I am 46 years old and I am doing diapers again. It's like, just what's going on here? But yeah. All right. So our last would you rather question, would you rather do stand up or sing a song on America's Got Talent?
Dude, I would. I would totally rather do stand up. I work with a bunch of comedians. One of my business partners is a famous comedian, and I work with others, and I love being around them because they're funny. And on rare occasion, I kind of make it almost like my life's mission to make them laugh. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'm victorious. So I think I could handle I don't know if I could do 10 minutes, but I could probably do a 5 to 8 minute set and get a couple laughs. So I would do stand up in a heartbeat.
All right. Sounds good. So actually that's leading into to my next question. I do want to talk a little bit about your app. I think it's called Special Guest.
Yep.
Because I tried to find it on the Play Store, but it wasn't there. I just want to make sure to maybe change the name at some point. Nope. Because I do some stand-up comedy here in Poland. I do it in English, and for 6 years I've been doing stand-up. And so when we saw this about you working with Damon Wayans Jr., mm-hmm. Of course my ears pricked up a little bit. I was interested, and I thought this was a pretty interesting concept that you have this guy who has had management his whole life, basically his whole professional life, let's say. And I'm sure some of that has to do with family connections and also with talent. He's a very funny guy.
Yep.
But also that he seems to care that there's other people who don't have the luxuries that he has.
Yep.
And about making this easier. So how did this come about? How did you team up with Mr. Wayans and this kind of thing? I'd be interested. I obviously, just from the personal connection to stand up, I would like to hear more about this if you don't mind.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I mean, as an entrepreneur and as an investor and as, you know, I've had some success, you know, I've had the opportunity to, you know, to be introduced to people who have influential people who have ideas and, you know, and they've been introduced to me for purposes of providing them with, you know, feedback and how to go from idea to business. And so that's what happened here. In 2016, I was introduced to Damon, and you know, when we've been interviewed a lot, and we really did hit it off. I mean, I think it's partly my love of comedy. Mm-hmm. Again, I love being around funny people. And, you know, having spent so much time with Damon over these last couple of years, I mean, we'll be in a venture capital meeting pitching investors, and he'll get everybody laughing. We'll be, you know, together going over, you know, I don't know, a PowerPoint presentation or making decisions, and he makes me laugh. So we hit it off in the beginning. You know, I have a mobile app development company called Appic. We started building the app for him. And within the first couple of months, you know, Damon and I had spent so much time together, you know, he had asked me if I would consider being his partner. And so I really, really like the idea. So just so the listeners know. So Special Guest is a platform to make it easier for anyone to book live entertainment. So, you know, think Amazon or Uber for live entertainment. You know, if you're a bar or a restaurant or a club and you want to hire a musician or a comedian or a DJ, you could leverage Special Guest app to do that. If you're a bride and you're planning your own wedding, or if you're a wedding planner and, you know, you want to hire, you know, live entertainment, Special Guest is a platform to make it a lot easier, and streamlined to do that. So I love the concept. When I was introduced to Damon, I was coming off of raising $6 million for a startup that I co-founded called French Girls, which is a platform to help artists make money by drawing selfies and other pictures through an iOS app. And so in that case, the reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, I mean, I guess my whole life has been dedicated to, I don't want to just say social causes, but in trying to get behind people and encourage and support them becoming as successful as they could be. And in the case of French Girls, it was artists, and I loved it. It was, you know, art is one of those things when you're a kid, your mom or dad say, "Oh, great, you know, you're really talented," but it's a hobby, it's not a career. And that kind of, that bothers me. And then in this space with Special Guest, when we think about live entertainment and music, you know, most talent doesn't have the luxury of being managed. About 90-95% of talented people who are worthy of getting paid to perform, you know, struggle to get paid to do what they love to do. So not only did it pull my heartstrings, but it also just so happens to be a massive industry. In the United States, it's about a $36 billion industry a year. That's just booking non-ticketed live entertainment.
Wow.
So mom and dad hiring a clown or an impersonator in the backyard, or a restaurant hiring, you know, an 80s rock band for a Friday happy hour. And so Damon and I partnered, Derek, and you had mentioned earlier that we were cast on Apple TV's first original content series. It was a reality show called Planet of the Apps. It was a blend of sort of The Apprentice, Shark Tank, and The Voice. There were celebrity judges, Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas, Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a successful entrepreneur, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Jessica Alba, two famous actresses. And we got cast on the show. The idea was that you'd pitch your idea. If one of the coaches liked it, they would select you, and then you would work with that coach over the period of about 3 months. It would all be caught on camera. And at the end of that coaching, if you will, you get to pitch a Silicon Valley venture capital firm by the name of Lightspeed Venture Partners. And they made $10 million available to the quote unquote winners of the show. The winners meaning those of us that did get selected by a coach and then made it till the end. Not everybody made it till the end. Less than half of the people didn't. And then you get to do the pitch. So we raised $1.5 million through the TV show and through some celebrity connections like Kevin Hart, Damon's uncle, Marlon Wayans, and a bunch of other, like some of the cast of New Girls, which is an ABC sitcom that Damon's on, among others. So that was in early last year. If you fast forward to now, it's probably the most exciting startup I've ever been part of. The growth and the scale of it is just extraordinary. You know, we're potentially, and I think we will, you know, making it easier for talented people to get discovered and to get booked. And we're streamlining that whole process through an iOS app and through a web app. Android will be coming later, but if you were to check out our web app at specialguestapp.com, you'll see that it's fairly sophisticated. You know, we're working with thousands of talented people, booking, lots and lots of people on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, and we're scaling quickly. That was a real long-winded answer. I apologize. So if anybody's still with us, it's really a cool startup, and I think it's really challenged me because I've not only had to have to raise venture capital, but I'm working, you know, with celebrities. I'm working with, tier A investors, and you know, I'm hiring a lot of people. We're opening in new markets. It is definitely requiring me to apply those ninja skills that I was referencing earlier. And I think if we're successful with this one, I really do believe this could be a $1 billion company.
Wow. Okay. Now, is this something that is this available throughout the United States? Is it just in New York and California? Is it some combination of the two?
Yep. So we, you know, like a traditional Silicon Valley backed marketplace, we spent 7 months last year demonstrating product market fit in the greater Los Angeles, California market. Earlier this year in April, we soft launched in the tri-state area where I'm from here in Pennsylvania. So New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Over the next couple of months, we'll be launching in several markets, you know, Nashville, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, and elsewhere. And, you know, I think that the platform likely becomes international. I get that I'm talking to my friends in Poland. It likely becomes international in 2019 or 2020. It gets technical. We don't need to go into it. But, you know, scaling this type of business is, you know, incredibly hard. The infrastructure that you have to create around it, you know, is pretty complex. It's not just an app that it's not like a game. Like there's a lot of nuances with regard to integrating with venues, et cetera. But, so we're live in parts of the United States, moving towards, more cities. I would say, you know, we'll introduce new cities every 4 to 6 weeks over the next, you know, 12 to 18 months.
All right. Well, when it makes it over this way to Europe, I will definitely be excited to check more of that out. That's for sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing a little bit of a deep dive on that one particular thing, mainly because that was sure. Where our interests lie here. So I do appreciate that, and I don't think that it was hopefully too long or whatever for our listeners.
Yeah, there's a ton. If people are more interested in learning about it, you know, all they got to do is Google it. My partner. You know, the amazing thing is we've gotten to do not only be on a TV show, but we've gotten to do, you know, national interviews and stuff. And I mean, again, remember, you asked me about movies and stuff earlier. I've loved comedy. His, you know, Damon's family, the Wayans family is comic royalty. I mean, his His dad and the uncles created something called In Living Color, which was a sort of a lot like Saturday Night Live, but it was where like famous comedians like Jim Carrey, Rob Schneider, and others really launched their careers. And it's crazy. It's absolutely insane to think that I get to work with these folks. And it's just, it's so cool. So, but the point is, like, if anybody's like, if they think it's cool, like, I don't really get into it, but like our passion, you know, Damon's a super successful actor. I mean, he has his own sitcom coming out on CBS in the fall. I think it's October 1st or 2nd or something like that. You know, I've had quite a bit of success. Like this is not about money for us. It's about democratizing the way that people discover and book live entertainment. The mission is to make it easier for talented people to get paid to do what they love to do. I mean, that it's very social driven. I mean, this is, we need as many people that care about getting behind the cause, you know, to help promote it and to tell the story that we're trying to you know, leverage tech to, you know, put live entertainers to work, you know, and to help them get paid, preferably more than they're used to getting paid through technology. So people should Google it. They should check out some of the interviews that Damon and I have done. Again, in every interview you'll read or watch us in, the guy, he cracks people up. We did a Fox Business interview just back in April. And I mean, if you watch the interview, I'm like laughing through the whole thing. And it's like national TV. And I'm just like, I can't even hold myself back. He's just so funny. He's got the camera guy laughing. He's got the producer laughing, the host laughing. It's just awesome.
Oh, I read some about it. I didn't see that particular one. I'll have to check that out. And I'll talk with Chris. I'll be sure we can put the link in the thing when this goes live, because I would love for more people to know about it and do more about it, because that's also something that that we believe strongly in here as well. So thank you. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to move on now to the world famous Elephate lightning round.
Okay.
Now these are going to be simple questions. If you would like to extrapolate a little bit, you may. If not, we're going to go right on to the next one. Okay.
Can I pass on a question?
You can pass. Of course, you can pass at any time. Our first question, you actually anticipated just a little bit. So first question of the lightning round: Saturday Night Live or In Living Color?
Oh man, SNL. God, I'm going to get in trouble on that one. I love SNL. So, no, In Living Color was awesome, but I think I've talked to Damon's uncle Keenan and his dad. I'm like, guys, you guys have to bring it back. I think a contemporary version of In Living Color would beat SNL. It's just that In Living Color ended too soon, where SNL continues to put out some of the funniest comedians, you know, in comedy.
Sure. Okay. So since you chose SNL, Phil Hartman or Will Ferrell?
Oh man, Will Ferrell's a top three for me.
Okay. So let's hear the rest of the top three if you already have them in mind.
Yeah, I would say Chris Farley is number one, Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
I would say what's the guy from Wedding Crashers? Vince Vaughn. I think is just freaking brilliant. And then I would say Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. Those guys would round it out. I mean, I could keep going because there's a lot of others that are super close. But yeah, those are my three.
Okay.
And of course, Damon Wayans Jr.
Of course, top five. Yeah, you can't go wrong with top five. Absolutely. There you go. So had you chosen In Living Color, I was going to ask Damon Wayans or Keenan Ivory Wayans.
I would say Damon Wayans. I think that his he was in, what was the movie, the military movie,
Major Pain.
Yeah, I watched that with my 9-year old a couple weeks ago, and there were a couple of probably choice language, but oh man, I mean, I think some of his characters were just epic. I actually was with Damon Senior, so Damon's dad. Because he's one of our investors as well. And he's telling me about an app idea. And I just was like, I'm listening. And he's talking about features and benefits. And I looked at him and I said, I'm like, really what you should be focused on is how are you going to make mo' money? And he looked at me and he's like, pretty funny. And because he's the guy that says, mo' money, mo' money, mo' money. It's a pretty famous character that he had in Living Color. And I got him to do it for me.
Yeah, indirectly. I remember that. I am of a certain age. I remember these things. So yeah. I love Damon Wayans' stand-up. Now, I haven't revisited it in a long time, and that's one that I would like to do. It's like, you know, obviously with Keenan Ivory, he was the guy who was directing and writing and kind of the yeah. So I think his you know, while he was also a funny guy, I think his talents really were in a different aspect, whereas I think Damon was just funny, you know. That was it for me. He was one of my favorite stand-ups as a
Yeah, Keenan still to this day. I mean, because you know he was behind a number of the films that the family has been in, like more as a writer producer.
Sure, gonna get you, sucker, and all those. Yeah,
writer producer. Where Damon Senior, even Marlon, you know, they're much more the theatrical kind of actors of the family.
Yeah.
So yeah, Damon Senior and Marlon, both of who are investors, are. You know, I mean, they both have their own sitcoms. Marlon has a sitcom on NBC. It's in its second season called Marlon. And of course, Damon Sr. has his own sitcom on Fox.
All right. So this is taking away from the lightning round. We keep getting distracted, but that's fine. Okay. So best James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan.
Okay. Sushi or steak tartare?
Sushi.
Yingling or Iron City?
Dude, I can't believe Yingling's from my hometown here. It's from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, which is like 30 minutes. I can't believe you just pulled out Yingling. So I got to go with Yingling.
I am a fan of Yingling. They brew it in Tampa, Florida now. So I'm originally, I grew up in Florida. Yeah. And I went to college with a guy who was from just outside of Pennsylvania, or just outside of Philadelphia, I mean.
Yeah.
And what I love about being, when you're anywhere in Pennsylvania, if you order a lager, they'll give you a Yingling.
Yeah.
So it's like being in a movie. Like when you see guys that just go and order a beer at the bar and somehow still get something served to them.
Sure.
That's what it's obviously like being in Pennsylvania, as I don't have to tell you. And so they opened up a Yingling brewery in Tampa. And my friend who, anytime anybody would come visit him, they would always have to bring a case of Yingling. Mm-hmm. So he was super excited. Now you could get it anywhere in Florida as well.
Awesome.
Skippy or Peter Pan?
I would go with Peter Pan.
Crunchy or smooth?
I would absolutely go with smooth.
Best advice you have ever given?
To believe in your potential to unlock your personal power.
Meditation or checking your phone?
So I'm about to get trained. Starts August 14th in transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to absolutely try to unlock my inner happiness through meditation and not through scrolling through Facebook.
Fair enough.
I might be onto something there.
Okay. Well, let's hope. The one book that you couldn't finish that still haunts you?
The one book that I would say, man, that's a tough one because I'm kind of OCD when it comes to deciding that I want to do something. There's a new book by Ray Dalio that I just started. And I literally looked at it this morning when I rolled out of bed and I thought to myself, should I, cause I'm not completed with it. It's probably a 400 or 500 page book. I'm likely on page like 200. And I thought to myself this morning, Chris, you need to finish that book. Like make a commitment to do it. And I thought to myself, maybe if I get it on audiobook, it'll be easier for me to finish, to complete. And then I thought to myself, you know, in those first 200 pages, there's a bunch of visuals that were pretty profound. So anyway, I guess I'm kind of struggling over finishing Ray's book.
Okay. And do you have a confidence that you will?
I again, I mean, I have OCD, so my anxiety levels, you know, just increase over time when I give up on myself. So the only way to reduce the anxiety is to complete tasks. I am like I'm not suggesting it for everyone, but my high achievement gene, disallows me from starting something and not finishing it. There are very, very few things in my life that I committed to and didn't complete.
Okay.
There are some. I mean, I'm not Superman, but generally speaking, I'm very careful in the books that I start to read, among other things. And I usually complete it. So now that you brought it up.
Now you're going to be thinking about it.
I'm going to have to complete it. So, just the social angle here will be too great for me not to do it.
All right. The worst Spielberg movie.
I have no idea. I have to pass. I mean, I started to think of some, but I couldn't. I'm the kind of person that my brain works in terms of the things I like, I dislike. One of the hardest questions are like, what was your biggest failure and stuff? I'm like, dude, failure for me is an opportunity to grow. So it's not like failure for me or a bad experience for me. I already told you I don't reject food. Like I'll sit through a painful, dinner just because I always see the good in things. But go ahead. I passed.
All right. So this is going to bring us up to the end here. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything else you would like to promote? What's something that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I mean, being that you guys are a super fast growth digital marketing company, I would be remiss without at least sharing with you so Pepper Jam was a digital marketing and affiliate network. I sold it, had a 5-year non-compete. And when that expired, which was probably around 2014, if the math is right, 09, I sold it, 14. I acquired the domain lseo.com and I created, initially it was a software based company. And what we realized was that the type of sort of SEO that we do fits really nicely with funded startups and publicly traded companies. So our core client base are really big companies, in some cases, startups that have raised millions of dollars, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars, and as well as publicly traded companies. And I guess what I would share about LSEO is that, when you look back on the 20 years of my career, it was the late 1990s. I co-founded a gourmet food business with my brother called Pepper Jam, which was then a gourmet food that my grandmother made for us when we were kids. I went online, I self-educated, learned everything I could about, basically how you build a website and then how you get traffic to the website and then how you sell stuff online. And that's how Pepper Jam was created. And that's the three books that I mentioned, the SEO Visual Blueprint books that I wrote and then sold over 100,000 copies of. And then to now LSEO, I've learned a lot, and I play at a pretty high level when it comes to growth marketing and SEO in particular. That's how I know two of your co-founders. And I guess I'm really just proud of where I'm at in my career as it relates to being able to help companies think through and scale their SEO. I think that's one of the things that unfortunately happens a lot in the digital marketing space is it's kind of like, I think too often sort of a checkbox type of industry where it's like, I boost my posts on Facebook, therefore I do Facebook advertising. No audience campaigns, no real advanced execution of, interest-based targeting, geographical-based targeting, et cetera. The same thing happens with SEO. I think for most, VPs of marketing or directors of marketing or CEOs of businesses, I think that they prematurely check the box on what's possible with SEO. I think, for instance, with your firm, one of the things that Bartos particularly I think is at the forefront of our industry on is technical factors, technical SEO, thinking through securitization, indexation, and other, you know, advanced issues. And if you're a big company that's, you know, checking the box prematurely, you know, my recommendation would be to try to find someone like myself or Bartosz or Wojciech or anyone else that is focusing their life on trying to help them think through the issues and reach out and see if we can't help you think through. So that's it. That, you know, LSEO is a fast growing company. It's grown over 300% in the last 12 months. I brought in, my president is the former president of another one of my startups. His name is Chris Nash. He was the president of Refer Local, which is a fairly large local e-commerce company that I recently sold. Chris is running my operations and otherwise I'm just proud of it. So I would kind of leave your listeners, you know, knowing that I'm the kind of person that has dedicated his life to entrepreneurship. But at the end of the day, you know, I want to bring out, everyone's fullest potential. I don't care if that's in business. I don't care if that's in life. I think that's my life's cause, my life's mission, is to try to engage with people to help them become the best possible versions, whether that be individually or business, the best possible version that they could become. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And hopefully our listeners will as well. Okay, Chris, we really do appreciate your time. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumais, music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.